Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he moved into a house with other people, but they soon discovered that they weren't the only ones in the house.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, do you have a real ghost story? Do you want to share it with us? Well, call it in if you like to do that. It's 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write in, do that at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. Or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon is in my house today.
I am in the house today.
Literally in my house today.
Yeah.
It's fun when we don't have to do this on Zoom.
I know. It's much more fun to be in here with you and chatting about things and in the big Wichita town.
I know, it's so big. Chatting about ghosts and stuff. And what to have for lunch.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Do you have any good ghost stories that have happened to you lately?
No, nothing big. A little dresser rearranging happening.
I thought about you the other night because I think that I did this to myself. I'm going to guess I was getting undressed and probably took off my shirt. You know how you whirl it around your head before you put it in the hamper. But maybe I did that. But I looked over and my picture of Buddy on my chest of drawers in my bedroom was turned the other way. Not like completely around, but it was definitely like way, not even kind of the angle I normally have it sitting at. And I was like, I looked over at it and I thought, a rearrangement.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And was it done in such a way that you could have hit it with something?
I mean, you know, the way I so recklessly take my clothes off and but like, do my own striptease.
I always just think, okay, if it would have been hit with a shirt or something, would it have fallen over?
No, not that picture, because it's kind of
And it has the easel back on it.
Yeah, it has like 2 4x6 photos, so it's a pretty decent size frame. So
okay,
it's not going to fall over easily. But it was weird because I just looked at it for a minute and I was like, Kathy's dresser.
Yeah. I had the other day I came home and on that dresser, I had a couple things that were stacked up, you know, and I was like, I don't do that.
So like what was stacked up? Like pennies or photos or?
Well, I have... it's a little shrine to my dog, Rosie, who is a little Shih Tzu. Super cute, but a boss.
Yeah.
She liked 5 people in the world. I was lucky to be one of them. Let's just put it that way. And,
speaking of people,
we have a little
animals that we like. Here's Izzy, kind of popped up in between us.
And so when she died, they did a little imprint of her footprints, and it's in a little box, and you have to lift the lid and see it, and you put the lid back down. I have her shirt and then her remains. And there was the little box. Her little shirt was on the box and her remains were sitting on top of that.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Everything else on the dresser was completely right place.
Do you think it's Rosie herself trying to get your attention? She was such a gentle little thing.
I don't think it is because... it doesn't always happen with her. I mean, it could be anything on the top of that dresser.
That's so strange.
Yeah. And every time it happens, I have this just cold rush that runs through me.
And it's one thing if you had other people in and out of your house, but
there
you don't.
Nobody that comes in and out of my house except me. And this is the exact location where I have seen a man twice, just kind of a, you know, like not super clear, but a man. And like I always say, it's more like it's kind of like blurry when I've seen him, you know, and then I jump so hard and I snap out and it's just gone, right? Because it just scares the crap out of me and then it's gone. But it's then that same, right? There, the door walking in was the door where I saw this guy. And right next, right beside the door is this dresser where this stuff keeps happening. And the feeling I get from it is more somebody's just trying to remind me they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way they can do it, is to move these things at this place. Because
you could try moving your chest of drawers someplace else, but I don't know that that would stop it.
I don't know either. But it's just weird. It's I get the feeling somebody's just trying to let me know they're there.
And what do they, and to what means? Like,
I don't know. To make some sort of contact with me. I just have that feeling.
Like, have you ever been like, okay, I get it that you're here.
Like, sometimes I do. Yeah. Sometimes I do the talking.
And they don't seem to give any shits then.
No. No.
Like, yes, I am. And let me prove it to you, yes, once and again.
I'm trying. And, you know, but it doesn't happen every day. You know, it may happen like once, like in a month, and then it might not happen for 2 months. But it usually will within. Oh, gosh. That scared me. But it will, you know, but it never goes more than like 2 months without it happening.
Well, that's super creepy.
It was a little bit.
I think it was my reckless striptease I did before bed.
Reckless stripteasing. Not me. I only striptease very strictly. A strict tease.
A strict tease. And then she takes off her shirt and then folds it up neatly.
Yes.
Whereas I just toss it across the room.
That's why I never got a job in a strip club, because I take off my clothes. I have to fold them. Like, rules. There are rules, people. Well, right? You have to fold them up.
It's like, I don't want like my clothes all over the dang place. Like, right. Let's just stack them neatly once I take them off.
Exactly. That's my
point. Since we're doing it that way, I'm taking the clothes off in an orderly fashion.
It just is not very exciting to watch somebody take off their clothes and fold them up and put everything away.
You would be the brokest stripper ever.
That, yeah.
Like,
there are many reasons I didn't get a job as a stripper. That's just one.
Because I could have made a little bit of money anyway, like with a dramatic whoosh, whoosh of my shirt above my head.
Right. See, that's what the people are wanting.
Oh, I got this vision of it now. Okay. Well, here is our first story. And it says, here's one of the multiple stories that I cannot explain. I had a few as a child, but none until I moved to Wisconsin as an adult in my mid-20s. I began dating this girl who became my wife in the spring of 2011. About a month after meeting her, I moved in with her, her sister, her sister's boyfriend, and their three children. That is amazing that after 1 month of dating, he moves in with all of them. That's a lot.
That is.
It was a two-story home in rural Wisconsin that they were renting. Most days were as normal as possible, but we all experienced unexplained things alone or as a group. For the sake of a shorter story, I will share a few that I have personally experienced. One summer afternoon, I watched the youngest child, about a year and a half old. We were playing a game where I would chase him around the house to keep him occupied and hopefully wear him out before his mother came home. We ran from the living room through the dining room and got into the kitchen over and over and over again. At one point, as I passed the basement door right before entering the kitchen, I heard two loud bangs on the door. I slowed down, looked at the door, and continued after the child and ended the game. I immediately returned to the door to try to explain what had happened. I ran past the door, pushed against it, and tried everything I could besides banging on it to replicate the noise, but I could not. I told the mother what had happened, and it turns out that the same door opened on its own one night as they were eating supper. The basement was rarely used for anything, and the only way to open the door would be to turn the handle. Fast forward a few months, as we were playing cards around the kitchen table, I noticed movement in the kitchen. When I quickly glanced over, I witnessed a split second of a figure in the kitchen that moved out of sight into the laundry area. I told myself it was probably my mind playing tricks on me until that night when I was awoken to Corey, the other man who lived there, yell out, this is all in caps, what the fuck? This was around 3:30 or so in the morning. That's not what you want to hear at 3:30 in the morning is somebody yelling.
That is kind of the witching hour. We hear that a lot, 3:30.
So it was around 3:30 or so in the morning. He routinely woke up and made himself a sandwich. One of those eaters in the middle of the night.
There are people that do that.
I went into the kitchen and asked him what was going on, and he told me he was eating a sandwich when he looked up at the door with a window on it to see a reflection of himself and someone standing behind him in the doorway. He said he quickly turned around and nothing was there. Mm-hmm. My only other experiences in that house were waking up to use the bathroom and distinctly hearing someone walking up the stairs towards me as I stood at the top of the stairs. We all had similar experiences while living there and even had a meeting around the table accepting that we were not alone in the household. It was a serious conversation. We decided to stay as long as whatever did not start to mess with the children. That did happen. And we all moved out soon after. I will write back later with the rest of this story and explain how the children were affected.
Oh, yeah, please do.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Thank you for your podcast. I'm a new listener who truly did not believe in ghosts until I experienced something that could not be logically explained. That's from Mike. You know, that is so true that people will be non-believers until something like that happens. And then how do you explain it?
Yeah. That story about, was it Corey?
The brother, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saw the reflection, somebody behind him. Holy cow.
Scare the crap out of me.
Oh my goodness.
But so would just being in bed in the middle of the night and hearing someone yell that.
Yeah. God, could you imagine though? And like then, just seeing a reflection and there's somebody behind you and you turn around and nothing's there. Whoa.
No, all you're doing is making a sandwich in the middle of the night.
Oh.
God, that's scary stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's interesting that that living there changed him from a skeptic to a believer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, stuff like that can happen. Let's listen to this phone call.
Hi, Tony. I've called in the past. I've actually been a listener of the show for a very long time. Just because of my circumstances, and I found you guys because I did have questions and I didn't have anyone else to go to and I just had concerns, so I found your podcast. But I'm just calling to basically give an update on our situation. When I first began calling, it was because my youngest daughter, Lillian, her name is Lillian, she, about 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, she began having dreams where someone would visit her and tell her things. She told us about Kobe Bryant. She told us about COVID. We just didn't understand the magnitude. I have another daughter. They are 2 years in age difference. Very different in a lot of ways, but they are very much alike. They've always been able to be extremely empathetic to other people. But as they got older, it's only, I feel like a lot of people will say, you know, the older you get, you may grow out of these things. For my children, it's been the opposite. If anything, it's became stronger, especially when they're around one another. My oldest does not have dreams. I mean, she does occasionally. I have dreams. I thought that was normal. I guess that's one of the things I have learned on this journey is that I wasn't as normal as I thought I was. I guess I thought everyone had visitation dreams or dreams that were different. But my oldest daughter does not have those dreams like my younger daughter. My oldest daughter actually is able to read tarot cards and know things. We went to a doctor's appointment recently. And she just knew that, and we didn't have her cards. I guess, again, this is a continued learning process for us. But we saw a lady we had not seen in some time. And afterwards, my daughter was like, she's going to have a car accident and she's going to end up having to utilize a wheelchair, maybe not forever, but she anticipates those things for this person. And these are things that my kids just know, not because they ask, but because sometimes they just know. It's difficult because it's hard to find other kids their age that they can associate with. My older daughter is very open with her gifts. She's a very reserved person, but she's very open with her gifts. She's very confident with them. She actually does tarot readings. My youngest daughter, not so much. She does not let others know. She says she doesn't want others to think she's fibbing, or, you know, because people automatically think that someone is fibbing when you have situations like this. And it's really unfortunate. But I just wanted to give you guys an update on my girls and let you know they are still, their abilities are getting stronger and stronger by the day. And I really appreciate you guys helping me to try to support my girls to the best of my ability. It's definitely been a journey. And we're just still on it. So I appreciate everyone. Thanks so much, Tony and Carol and Carol's sister that I can't remember her name, but I love your guys' dynamic. And Harper and everyone. That one guy. What is his name? Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.
That one guy is Todd.
Yeah.
And my sister is Kathy.
That's right.
You know, parenting, it would be difficult. I don't have kids. I just borrowed yours. But, I mean, as a parent, it's hard to be a parent. But when you'd have a child that has unique abilities, mm-hmm. like her kids,
mm-hmm.
it would be hard to parent them, I would
think.
Well,
I have had instances where my children have had things happen to mm-hmm. them. And my son, mm-hmm. You know, my dad visited him off and on for quite a while. Then, you know, I've had my oldest son. One time, you know, I remember that I came out for breakfast and we're chatting and getting ready for the day and stuff. And the night before, I had this where, and I know that a lot of you guys have had something similar happen, where I was dozing off, but I felt someone touch my leg and kind of run their finger up my leg. And, you know, I sat up. It just jolted me wide awake, sat up, and of course nothing's there. And I could remember thinking my dad used to do that. Like if I was fall asleep on the sofa, his way to wake me up would be to tickle my leg, you know, to run a finger on my leg. And so I just thought, wow, I think it was dad, you know, letting me know he was there. So the next morning at breakfast, my oldest son said, just, you know, eating cereal and just being his regular self. And he says, you know, Mom, the weirdest thing happened last night. And I said, what was that? And he said, it felt like somebody touched my leg when I was, you know, in bed. Like somebody, you know, and I'm just like standing there. I just like, I'm sure my mouth just dropped open. Because I had the same thing happen.
And so did you?
I didn't tell him. I didn't say anything. I just said, oh, okay.
Obviously, you know, it was a ghost.
Yeah, no, I just said, well, you know, like I think I never once acted like it didn't happen when one of my kids said something like that. You know, I always validated it and said, well, it could be, you know, maybe I came in or, you know, maybe, you know. And of course, if I said that, he'd go, no, nobody was there. I looked, you know, and I said, well, I don't know. I don't know what would have caused that, you know, kind of letting it go because I didn't want to get him shook up about a ghost or something. And yet I don't want to act like it didn't happen.
Like
you want both of those things to be true.
Yeah, because
right?
In this case, I think it's interesting in that, you know, it's not a one-time experience for this family. It's
right.
Kind of ongoing. And so how can the kids, you know, like be on the softball team and see somebody that's like, oh my God, that person might get in a car wreck. I don't know. It would just be hard to get them to live a normal mm-hmm. life when they're having all of these things coming in at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how you nurture that.
And I don't know how specific these things are that are coming in. Like, are you seeing things that happen to other people? Or is it that you sense spirits around you?
Well, that one
you,
was super you know? Specific about a car accident and that person's
well,
going
right.
to end up in a wheelchair.
That's right.
Like, that that's was... specific.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know how you nurture, because obviously that ain't going away.
You don't want them to be afraid.
Yeah. Don't want them to be afraid. It doesn't seem to be going away. But then you want your child to have a normal childhood and mm-hmm. go for sleepovers and do the things that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a really hard thing to maneuver.
And it is, because I do think that more than not, as they get older, it happens less.
And she said
and
that
she
it doesn't
it's
seem
not.
To be going
yeah,
away.
Maybe the other way around even.
Obviously, but, these are people who could make some money in the future with these psychic abilities. Like, they can do readings and they can make some money.
Well, they can. I mean, you know, but I think the biggest thing is to just let them know that what they feel is valid.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever direction that takes them, you know, it's not wrong. It's, you know, that they have these, you know, gifts.
And kind of explain to them, like, you know, because I'm sure by now they've had, I don't know how old the kids are, but by now I'm sure they've had the conversation. They get that this doesn't, their friends don't experience this. Mm-hmm. It's also something like, you know, when we were kids, you didn't want to be the kids that lived in the haunted house. This would be, you don't want to be the kid who knows things you shouldn't, and that makes her weird. You know, it's kind of all of a sudden you're like Carrie or something. And
yeah. And I'm wondering if there are some ways that, you know, you can learn to, and I think what we all do is a lot of us start with these, you know, abilities, but then we learn to shield ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that we can raise shields and raise walls so that things can't cross them anymore. And I think we do it subconsciously. I don't think we consciously think I'm going to raise this, but it's almost like our logic gets in the way of having these experiences. No, that can't happen because this and this and this. That's not, you know, you just explain everything away. When they do sort of creep in, you just explain it all away. Now, I don't think that seems to be happening with these girls. They're not explaining, you know, what they have happening maybe isn't. You can't explain it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, I think the best thing is just to do what this mom's doing, valid, you know, just letting them know they're valid, their feelings
are valid,
and, you know.
And also try to live as normal life as you possibly can.
That's right.
You know, they still need to go out and play softball and do the fun things that kids do.
That's right.
And that at home is a safe place to talk about it, but they need to know that not everybody's going to be open to hearing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to watch who you share things with.
Yeah. And we had that discussion on another show not too long ago where we said, if you have information that comes to you, do you share it? Do you tell them? Like, you know, if you have a dream that you know, a premonition and you think maybe something's going to happen, do you share it? And, you know, those are tough calls to make.
That's tough parenting. You know, there's mm-hmm. not a rule book for that. There's no book on it. There's all kinds of like things on how to work with your kids on this, that, and other thing. But Dr. Phil has never done an episode on this.
No. But it just doesn't feel like parenting, there just aren't a lot of good rules. Like, a lot of times we just are parenting from the seat of our pants. Yeah. We just are, you know.
And especially in this situation.
It would be great if, you know, everything just worked out like, you know, this book told you to do it, but boy howdy, it doesn't work that way.
Too bad Dr. Phil ain't doing an episode on it, because that could help people. Mm-hmm. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at any time. It's 855-853-4802. You can write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, if you would want to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive, you can sign up today through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or just go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.